Welcome to Go Home Heat. This will be a Ray review of the NXT TakeOver event in Toronto. How would we like to get this thing started? You want to talk about the first match?
Yes, I would love to talk about the first match.
Awesome. All right. Street Profits versus Undisputed Era. What did we think about the match? Ray, do you have a rating?
I would give it a 4.5 stars.
Awesome. Litnick is here, and Litnick is going to tear into this. What did you rate this thing?
That's right. I give this a solid 2 solo cups in the air.
Out of 2 solo cups?
Just like my 2 thumbs. Yes, right.
Awesome.
All right.
Now, what do we think about the match itself? Like, do you want to talk about it? First of all, placement of the match. It was the first match. Street Profits retain.
Perfect.
Start off hot.
All the spots. All of them.
All the spots.
First match.
Yep. What do we think about Montez?
He bounced a lot. He's got spring.
He's got spring in his step, but I think honestly, the more I think about it, the more I believe that the Street Profits may be my favorite tag team right now going. They just have this undeniable quality in their matches that just seems to get better and better and better. They have an undeniable charisma, and I don't know. There's just some presence about them that separates them from like every other tag team that I've seen.
Right, right, and yet we know how good. Obviously, Undisputed Era has been around the world. They've torn it up. We knew how good they were coming in. This was the Street Profits' first time trying to retain the belt, and they did it, and they performed like stars.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think of what move really stuck out to me the most, but there are just so many. I think that we talk all the time about Montez Ford, but you know Angelo Dawkins ain't nothing to snort at either. His spears at the end just looked painful to watch.
He looked like a legitimate defensive end.
It was boom, just knocked one guy out, stood up, and knocked the other guy out.
Right. He also is athletic. He does that spinning stinger splash in the corner, which is really nice.
By the way, completely stole his entire moveset from Sting.
That was a joke. It's an inside joke.
It's an inside joke.
We'll get to it later.
Yeah.
Now he also had a thing where he threw his opponent across the ring, and it looked like gravity was being defied. It was
threw him like a baseball.
O'Reilly, right. Kyle O'Reilly went from over here to over here.
That was a distance joke with him clapping his hands away from the mic and close to the mic.
Nothing says better comedy in an audio form than doing a visual joke.
Awesome. All right. So we liked it. These guys are stars. Every one of them, right? Showcase what we do.
Red Dragon is great. You love Bobby Fish.
Yes, Red Dragon, by the way, being the Undisputed Era, these two members of the Undisputed Era back in Ring of Honor?
No, it was Ring of Honor and New Japan. It was a combination of the two. Ring of Honor and New Japan are tightly knit.
Awesome. Let's move on to match number 2, Candice versus Io Shirai. What do we think about that match?
Solid 5 stars.
Solid 5. Match of the night?
No.
Wow, that tells you how good it's going to get later.
Ah, man, the more I think about it, the more I think this is 2 broken kendo sticks. Out of 10. It's perfect. It's great.
2 out of 10 is perfect.
Well, I mean, 2 broken candlesticks. Those candlesticks are long, man. Now, Io Shirai retained, beating out Candice LeRae in what was essentially became like a grudge match kind of thing. After Io Shirai got tired of having to deal with everyone else's stuff, you know, he's censoring my language here. Yeah, she doesn't need anybody. Now she's proved it. Proved it herself. And she killed it.
It was great. It was great.
I would rate it. Oh, I already rated it.
Well, you want to rate it again?
I'll rate it.
Give it another
solid
star. How about a
6
stars.
Star? Yeah. I'm gonna add like a couple more candle sticks to mine. Actually,
right,
break some more.
Now, going into this match, I wasn't blown away by either of these performers, and I was blown away by it by the time this thing was over. I feel like we've made 2 stars, and we did it against each other. Now, I was just wrong about Shirai. I was wrong about Candice. I readily admit it. They were fantastic tonight.
Heel Io Shirai is the best, like, it's best for her and best for the NXT Women's Division.
Right, and Candice said after the match that she finally got to be herself, which was evident as you watched it.
Yeah, it's good to see her finally get able to, like, show off her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Show how far she can go. Now, next is not a match, actually, if I remember correctly.
It's not a match. What happened?
It was Riddle versus Dane after Riddle came out, stopped some promo that was about to happen, or like video package that was about to happen, and basically called out Killian Dane.
Yo, what a knee bar. What a knee bar.
Called him out. Called him out. And what he did was Killian Dane came out and they started brawling in and out of the ring. And then among an odd thing, if like I notice anyways, is the fact that you can see like Stone Rockwell as one of the background guys from Impact, which was really wild, but that's not the point. The point is Killian Dane just destroyed Riddle, made him look like a million bucks again. Which is good to see.
Poor security dude.
Yeah, he took a security guard with him. I don't know what he did.
They brawled up the runway, and then they wound up going through a table.
They
wound up
going through a table. They grabbed the security dude.
Right.
And then jumped off, and then...
crushing said security man and said Riddle. And on to the next match, which is Dream Done Strong. What did we think? Ray?
I thought it was a solid 4.8 out of 5.
Nice.
I give it an O Canada out of 10.
O Canada out of 10. That's really good.
Speaking of O Canada.
Let's do the entrance. What you got?
Can we talk about Velveteen Dream?
I feel like every time we talk about Velveteen Dream in any takeover, you have to talk about his entrance and his attire at all times because he always just steals the show with just how he looks and how he comes in.
He's a star.
He is. Came out with the Dudley Do-Right song with Canada in the background with a bunch of Monies. And then the Monies took off their clothes and randomly, oh, wait, no, they're the Raptors.
Right.
They start, like, jamming them and the cheerleaders all dancing there. And then just, poof! And then as soon as his song hits, out comes Dream wearing a Monie hat. And everyone's just fawning over him like he's an Egyptian god.
It was so good. So well done. So well done. He does it every time.
He does it every takeover.
Every single time.
One time he came up, when we first saw this, we were like, there's no way he can top the Call Me Up Vince Pants.
But he does it every time.
Now, what happened in the ring?
Oh, what happened in the ring was that Dream retained against Roddy Strong and Peter Dunne. Peter's done, because he didn't win.
Whoa.
But, in all seriousness, though, every single one of them knocked it out of the park. As per usual with these three, actually.
What do we think about Roddy Strong as a performer?
Roddy He's
undisputed and underrated.
Yes, very much undisputed. I'm sorry for saying that.
No, it's all right. But honestly, I have a feeling...
he always ends up... because he just looks like a regular dude. And then he comes out and he does all these incredible things. Like, remember the spot where he hit the backbreaker. He broke Velveteen's back on the apron. And then did the Pete Dunne on the barricade. And then threw Pete Dunne on to Velveteen Dream.
Oof. Right. And there was another spot where I think Dunn threw Roddy onto Dream too. So there were matching spots like that during the match that were really good. It was a well told story.
Something tells me in that spot Roddy thought, oh, I'll flip over, it'll feel better. It probably didn't.
Correct.
Probably could have just done a senton onto his back and it would have felt a lot better.
Right. Now, Roddy is a perfect wrestler. Dunn is a strong...
he's a perfect wrestler.
also. But different. Absolutely different.
He does the finger break thing. He does the
twisting of the limbs.
Right. He'll hold your fingers and pull them apart from one another.
One of my favorite things about him is his new finisher is a reverse guillotine choke hold. So he's actually sitting on their chest and doing the guillotine choke. But he's like kind of twisting their fingers and I would just go...
right. He's tapping on the table right now because he would tap out if somebody grabbed his finger and pulled it. It's tough to watch those kind of holds, by the way.
Okay. Matt Riddle would.
What do we think about Dream?
Dream
is incredible. Remember, he did the coast to coast.
Coast to coast elbow. Right. Awesome.
Tribute to the best in the world.
He was so tall that, okay, now that's the go home heat moment.
Right.
You just even mentioned.
Listen, I didn't even mention Shane McMahon. I said the best in the world.
You just assumed that it was Shane because Shane is the
best in the world. Okay, that's
all right.
Let's move along.
The beautiful thing though about Dream is he gives you little homages to all of the greats of the past. He'll give you a little Ravishing Rick Rude, a little Randy Savage, a little Bret Hart if he's in Toronto, a little Hulk Hogan if he's in a different town, a little it's amazing what he does.
Remember
I feel like he's the
up?
Future of the industry. I remember when he hulked up and went with the big boot and the big leg drop. Mm-hmm. And then tonight it was a totally different match. And you could see it when he was wrestling two totally different wrestlers and was having moments where he's doing their shticks, not his. He's able to wrestle Aleister Black in Aleister Black's way. He's able to wrestle Riddle in Riddle's way. Tonight he wrestled Dunn and Strong. their way. That's talent that can't be taught. That's really good.
I'm sorry, but he's going to be AJ Styles' age in like 2039, it is?
Oh, Lord.
Probably longer than that.
I can't believe you looked that up. That's awesome.
I did not look that up at all.
You made that.
I just one text from Jared, and I just tried to memorize that.
Good deal. Now, I want... That would be New Japan, Jared, for those of you who don't know. Now, I just want to say that if in 3 years, Dream isn't headlining WrestleMania, backpedaling away from The Fiend, I will be disappointed in this company. I feel like he's the future of the industry, and they absolutely need to keep him that. Now we're going to move on to the ladies' match, to the women's championship match. I probably said that incorrectly the first time. And
that's all right.
You, who was it again?
Mia Yim and Shayna Baszler.
What did we think
Some
about it? Did you start?
It How
did
Baszler? You? And those people, you're wrong.
Okay, now what did you think about it? How many stars, Ray?
How many stars? I'd give it 4.3.
4.3. I think it got a point. It moved up a point in the last hour, I think, which is really big for me as a person. I like that you can adjust to things when you think about them.
That's right.
Now, what did you think about it, sir?
Given, my arm hurts out of 10.
But, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, what do we think about the match itself? Who won?
Shayna retained once again.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Shayna is my sister's favorite wrestler right now going mm-hmm. because he just loves, like, the way she's able to...
Haley, who's head of production.
Yes, she is. She just loves the way that she holds herself and the way that she's basically this ultimate, like, final boss from, like, a video game in some ways for the women's division in NXT.
Right.
I feel like... And now we're going to transition into the fact that Shayna won, and I believe that Shayna should drop the belt extremely soon because Shayna, the SmackDown women's roster in particular needs Shayna because Raw is going to have Nia Jax, and I know how some people feel about Nia.
You're saying that SmackDown needs a heel, a powerful heel that can go in and be intimidating to the rest of the people on the roster on SmackDown.
It's either going to be Rhea Ripley or Shayna Baszler.
But today,
they need one of them.
Today we're talking about wrestling. Not sports entertainment. Nah. So let's get back to this match.
That's right.
But that is a great point. And we are kind of all waiting. The weird thing about NXT is as soon as your wrestler gets great, you wait because you know they have to move up. And then there's the worry of how will they be used and all those other things. But let's talk about this match in particular. What was the story they told?
The story they told was Street Fighter versus MMA submission magician. That is her gimmick.
Street Rat versus, you know, it's basically a big Rocky story in some ways.
Trained fighter.
Yeah, it's Rocky. It's Rocky.
Shayna being the heel, like Apollo was the heel, but he was the smoother, more trained fighter. Rocky, of course, being Mia.
I thought it was more of a traditional Eddie Guerrero match where... She's gonna out-heel you, and they're gonna cheer her for it. The
right.
ultimate form of disrespect.
But the reason they're
is
cheering
having someone do your job better than you do, and have the fans cheer you.
Well, no,
for
that's
doing
the thing is there's a difference here, as KPM sure is about to say.
The reason being Shayna's history. She's so good that in this match she doesn't feel like she has to resort to the tactics that we've seen her do so many times before. Whereas Mia's uncertainty leads her to go back to the street tactics, which got her onto the main scene in the first place.
But it still, unfortunately, was not enough.
It was not enough.
Well, it came close, though. They were working on that arm throughout the entire thing.
Right. And that's a part. Now, great that you brought that up. They worked on the arm. They told the story of the arm. And then so Shayna had to go to a second move.
She had to adapt, which I found to be, like, that's the coolest part of, like, the match for me. And honestly, it's because of, like, that whole working of the arm that I think that this is, like, the match that everyone's going to sleep on, but it's really, really good.
And in hindsight, it also gives her a second finisher. It shows you her ability to adapt, her ability to be more than just a couple of move person. She's really, really good.
Yeah, she's a submission magician. She'll pull a new one out of her hat.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Submission
there
magician.
You go.
That's exactly right.
I would love to see an entrance where... She she has a top hat. She brings it. She takes it off. She pulls it like a little rabbit plushie out and then chokes it out.
Give Vince the idea.
I'm 100% sure Vince has already thought of that. All right. Now let's move on to the finishing match of the evening. Goodness. How many stars do we have, Ray? 4. Gargano versus Adam Cole.
Baby.
Okay.
14.5 stars.
How did you get that rating?
Meltzer logic. But also because of the fact that there are 3 matches, 2 of which were 5 stars and 1 of which was 4.5.
And that's addition. And what do we know about math?
The numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie. Simple mathematics. Okay, what do we think? What did you think about this match?
I give this match a... I can't think of a joke. It's just that good.
It was so good. It was so good. That's as good as pro wrestling can get. If you're listening to this podcast and you think, well, maybe I'm into wrestling, I'm not sure. Look, watch this match. It's as good. Go to the get the WWE Network and watch this match first.
Free plug.
You'll be hooked. The only problem for you will be they ain't all as good as this one, because that was fantastic. They told one story to begin with in a regular wrestling match. And as Gargano is winning, he's winning, he can't finish him off, he can't finish him off. Adam Cole is not going to give in, and Gargano, who is the good guy, resorts to using a chair because he knows that the next match is a street fight, and if he can hinder Cole that much leading into the next fight, he's got a huge advantage. He gives up on his morals to try to win this thing, and he pulls out the chair. Fantastic. He leads us into a street fight, which turns into what, Nick?
Turns into just outright chaos. At some
chaos.
Point.
It's like souvenir cups.
Souvenir cups.
Sliding chairs.
Tables. Dudley, get the tables. They were chanting Johnny Tables at one point because they Johnny really tables. Wanted the tables.
And it was
He's
right.
got
it
so
worked.
Many nicknames.
It worked.
He's really? Got so many nicknames. Johnny right. Wrestling. Johnny Sports Entertainment. Pretty soon he's going to have Johnny Smackdown.
But as of right now,
he's Johnny.
He's just Johnny.
Right. Okay, now.
Johnny Failure.
Nah, hold on. We haven't gone there yet. But he was able to pull it off in the second match.
Okay, he pulls it off. And then we go to the final match where William Regal has devised this house of horrors. They drop a steel cage
Can we talk wire? About the atmosphere that this thing creates?
Correct.
It creates this atmosphere of this is the final level. This right. is the final
exactly right, Ray.
Stage of H.
It's a real
triple H.
But it creates this big sense of dread, honestly, because you see this like a cage. Like, oh, it's a cage, and then you don't see the door. And like, oh, where's the door? And then you just see everything tied to the side. You're like, oh,
right.
God.
These guys have given you a half hour of their life in a brutal scenario, and you see a cage drop with barbed wire, and you see, and the stip is you have to finish it in the ring. You can't escape, which. There's a thing in pro wrestling right now where people are frustrated with steel cage matches because they become about the chance of escape. And this match, it wasn't about escape. It was about what I can do to you in this building.
It just felt like this real big crescendo. It starts with a simple match and then just you get a little bit wilder with the steel cage. And then you just get what... I don't know how to describe what this is, but just a bag of tricks, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, and you had like...
All the gimmicks.
Yeah, you had all... It's a gimmick battle royale. That's what I called it.
Right.
I remember what it is now. You had the fire extinguisher. You had a sledgehammer. You had a kendo stick. You had like so many tables. And it just... It was crazy. And by the end, you were just worried that, okay, are they going to kill themselves?
And they almost did. They go through 2 tables from the top of the thing. It was...
Keep in mind,
they
it's
only,
also...
I'm sorry. They only hit one table... Which causes more dread because their shoulders actually hit floor.
Right, right. They didn't get to slow down like they had hoped.
And keep in mind, this is after 2 other matches they just did. This is after a street fight and after a regular fight.
And it's not like they went soft on each other in those.
No, it was brutal. It was brutal the whole time. It was brutal. It was well done. Cole retains. Gargano probably leaves.
And this is like Gargano's, like, you know, swan song.
It's his swan song, right.
It's beautiful.
Right. Correct. Absolutely.
I believe. Absolutely. I know what I want to happen, but that's for another episode.
Okay. Well, if that's for another episode, then we'll go to another episode.
And can we also talk about the presentation of this entire...
You know what? We should.
From the moment the choir started singing to when the Slipknot song... to when Corey Taylor started singing was... It had this feeling that this was...
Tonight's going to be special.
It's big.
Tonight's going to be special. And as I have said multiple times, that the NXT TakeOver before SummerSlam is like their WrestleMania. It always has been, and it always will be. And...
It felt like that, definitely. It felt like a big WrestleMania thing.
The NXT product has always wrestled. Their shows, their pay-per-view shows, has always been... We've got a chip on a shoulder. We think we're as good as anything. And they prove it time and again. The takeovers are fantastic from the opening of the choir to the end with Cole being carried up the stage. It was just a fantastic night. I can't say enough how much I love what NXT brings to pro wrestling.
It really is just next level.
And that is the end of Go Home Heat.
No. Right, that's going to be the end of this review of the NXT TakeOver product, and we're going to get into another review of SummerSlam soon. As in right now. We have just finished watching SummerSlam, and we are going to do another Ray review, this time with just Ray and KP. Ray, what did you think of SummerSlam overall?
Overall, I thought it was pretty good. Yes.
It was not as good as TakeOver to you?
No.
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 Okay. Would you give it a? You said pretty good, so it was fairly solid.
Fairly solid.
Well, what was your biggest takeaway of the night?
Biggest takeaway. Bray Wyatt. We all know it's going to be Bray Wyatt. It's
the Fiend.
Yes, the Fiend. We all know that's what everyone's going to remember this night.
Did it almost feel like? Not. I'm not saying it was like this to me. I'm asking you. Did it almost feel like the whole night was set up to make you come away realizing how important the Fiend is to the future of what the WWE's doing?
I don't know, because Seth and Brock went on last. And it's confusing to me, because I thought they were going to go on first or something like that. And I thought Kofi and Randy were going to go on last, but because of the count-out finish, Kofi and Randy did not go on last.
Okay, well, then why don't we just rewind and go through the pay-per-view then?
Yes.
Who came out first?
Who came out first? Natty and Becky.
What'd you think of it?
Can't put you over in your home country, brother.
You didn't like it?
I thought the match was good. I just did not like the way it resulted in Natty losing. Because I felt like it would be nice if Natty won. I thought that was the entire reason they started out with Natty and Becky and not Brock and Seth, so they can have a hot start with Natty winning.
Okay, I felt like it was a hot start, and I'm not arguing with you. I felt like it was a hot start. I felt like the match itself was fantastic. I felt like there were great transitions. It was innovative. It's something you don't see a lot. Where it was a submission match, and so they both got to put each other in one another's holds. They both made their own holds work. The match itself was good. You just didn't like the result, which is part of the WWE thing. Sometimes you don't like the result, right?
Yeah. In some cases, and this didn't happen in this match, but in some cases a result can ruin a match, which I don't think it was bad enough for it to ruin this match, because this match was that good, and the ending wasn't that terrible. I just thought I'd rather Natty winning.
All right, let's move on to the Dolph versus Goldberg. What'd you think?
It's Goldberg. He doesn't actually wrestle. He hits two spears. He had a spear of, obviously, Dolph sold like a madman. Because Dolph sold like we all know Dolph can sell. And first spear, he did, like, it was almost as good as, like, Rock's on Stone Cold. Just spear, whoop, flip, fall. And jackhammer, and that was it. And I feel like that's good for Goldberg's last match. I feel like that is very fitting to fit his entire career. Is that an insult? I don't know. You figure that out.
So it was well done.
Yes, it was well done. It was about as good as it could have been.
Okay, let's move on to AJ versus Ricochet. What'd you think?
Obviously, AJ versus Ricochet was great. Obviously, dude, the finish. Oh my god, the Phoenix Splash. Hurricane Rana into a Styles Clash. So what happened was he tried to hit a Phoenix Splash. He attempted and he did the Phoenix Flip. And then he fell into AJ's arms. He's probably trying to do a Phoenix Splash Hurricane Rana, which just saying that.
Pay-per-view matches AJ had were the one where he lost to Seth, but he still took a curb stomp and turned it into a Styles Clash. And then we have Ricochet one-upping that move by doing, I can't even pronounce what you just said he did.
A Phoenix Splash Hurricane Rana into a Styles Clash.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Let's move on. Now AJ won on the Styles Clash.
Yes.
And then we're going to go on to the next match, which was the SmackDown Women's Championship match, Ember and Bayley. What'd you think?
It's kind of obvious that Bayley won, isn't it?
Yeah, Bayley won.
I felt that the match was fine, but utterly forgettable.
Okay, well then if it was utterly forgettable, let's move on. Okay, we'll go to Shane and KO. What'd you think?
Shane and KO, I believe it was worked as correctly as it could have been worked. Kevin Owens, obviously, in his home country, I think it might have been his hometown as well, came in as the babyface, and basically everyone who fights Shane is the babyface. But the crowd was just nuclear for Owens. It was actually insane.
It worked.
Yes, it worked.
It worked. And Elias Kevin, being on the outside, Shane had Elias be the guest enforcer on the outside, which gave KO an even more complicated route to a win to save his career, because the stip was he would lose his career if he were to lose the match.
And Kevin Owens is the only Canadian to come out as a victor this match.
This pay-per-view.
This.
And that bothered you.
It does bother me, because both of the people that lost also tapped, which makes me feel like they both gave up.
Okay, well then that leads us
To Trish and Charlotte.
And what did you think about that?
Can't put you over in your home country, brother.
You didn't like the fact that Trish lost, or you didn't like the fact that she tapped? It was a good match, though, right?
I feel like the match got good when Trish did the Hurricane Rana, and then it got good.
Right. Charlotte is an amazing performance, whom gave Trish a wonderful swan song. But you didn't like the finish, is that right?
No, I thought she should have done the natural selection and then hit the 1-2, and then got the 1-2-3.
You didn't like her tapping out?
No.
In Canada?
No.
Now, I kind of agree with you a little bit on that, because I feel like Charlotte should go to the natural selection more than she does. It's a really good move, and yet she never really uses it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I don't get why she doesn't use it, because it's her move. It's what got her from NXT to, well, I mean, she got there because she's great, but you know what I'm saying. All right, let's move on to Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston. What'd you think about it? Again, you didn't like the finish at all.
It wasn't just the finish. It wasn't the performance that Randy usually gives. Well, Randy's kind of wonky. Like, if he wants to wrestle, he will wrestle. He'll give a good match. If he doesn't want to get a good match, you're not going to get a good match out of him. He's kind of weird like that. But
and you don't think he wanted to be there, or you don't think he was into it for whatever reason? It didn't work for you at all, the whole match.
There are two things that could have happened with Randy. One, it could be Randy just woke up and didn't want to wrestle, or he didn't like the finish. Which, the finish, so that they both won by count.
Go ahead.
It was a tie by count out,
Right.
Which I think you can see the problem, and that is there should have been a decisive, like a winner. Somebody should have won the match.
You could tell the crowd wanted somebody to win. They went crazy when they did the count out finish. And I don't know. I didn't feel as bad as you did about Randy's performance or about Kofi's performance, but
Kofi did nothing wrong.
I did totally feel the way the crowd reacted when there was no clear cut winner. But we're probably getting the finish of this at Clash of Champions. So
yeah, I thought pretty soon Randy's gonna RKO Kofi's kid.
No, that is not gonna happen. But I did love Kofi's kid flexing his fist and being ready to rock with Randy right there to protect his dad. That was good.
Another year we're gonna have the WWE Championship revolve around the wrestler's family.
Mm-hmm. Now The Fiend versus Finn. What'd you think?
Just incredible.
He's a good wrestler. Was. I don't know if he's still working. I think he's still working, but. Now, you were talking about the actual term. It was just incredible, not just incredible, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, what did you think about The Fiend's entrance?
What can there be more to say than what hasn't already been said other than it was done greatly, the right amount of budget was put in. Obviously, Vince and them care about this, which really makes me happy. If only they cared about this as much as they cared about EC3. But I digress. The match was kind of a squash. But he's Finn, man. He can get up from a squash. He's done it before.
Right. Now, the entrance, if you didn't get to see it yet, it was amazing. Finn comes out. He's dressed in white. He's not the demon, which people were thinking might happen. We'll probably get that at WrestleMania. Bray comes out. He's in the get-up. He's the Fiend. He's got the mask on. He's got a lantern in his hand with the light coming out. The lantern is actually the shape of his head, his hair being the place where you would hold the lantern. The out of his mouth was coming the light. His eyes were sewn shut. It was a spectacle. The lights were off. Everybody knew to do the fireflies. They had they had redone the song that Bray Wyatt had used when he was calling on Sister Abigail all the time, and it turned it into more of a metal sounding song, and it was very modern, scary metal. Really, really, I thought it was great. I thought they did that well. I thought the match was done well. I thought Finn reacted to everything.
Dude, the look on Finn's face after the lights went on.
I was a little scared with the spot where he kind of broke his neck. But he didn't really break his neck, but when he yanked his head two different directions right there, like they do in the karate movies or in the cop movies to actually kill people. And I was a little scared there, but obviously he was fine. He got a little bit of offense when the Fiend kind of backed away, and you could see the split personality showing through the Fiend, where his hands say what?
Hurt, heal.
Hurt and heal, and he was figuring out which one he wanted to do there. And then, you know, Finn was able to regroup, get a little bit of offense going, go for the coup de grace, and then instead of getting the coup de grace, he got what?
He got
a mandible claw to the mouth and put to the ground, and 1, 2, 3. Well, I guess he actually went unconscious, right? It wasn't just 1, 2, 3. Take your pick. Both shoulders were down and he was unconscious, so take your pick. Okay. Whichever comes first. Sleeping or count, whatever. Now, main event, what'd you think about it? Spit it out. What'd you think? Main event.
It was
Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, Universal Championship.
It was, especially after what had just happened, there was almost no possible way other than Seth Rollins coming out with the Infinity Boot once more. Then, and only then, would he have beaten the Fiend.
With the Infinity Boot. That was a outfit he wore for a different
last year's SummerSlam.
Oh, was it last year's SummerSlam? Right.
Against Dolph. Remember when they always wrestled?
And that was Dean's or now known as Mox, first time back from the injury, right? He was the outside helping against Drew. Yeah. Okay, back to the match itself. You just felt like the Fiend and Finn should have gone on last because that was the spectacle that everybody was going to remember when it was over anyway. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it could have been that, or it could have been Randy and Kofi if the finish were different. But the finish wasn't different. But or
you don't think they could have finished with a... They couldn't have finished a pay-per-view with a DQ. Is that right?
No, I think it was a double count-out.
Which is why you feel like it went on third from last. Okay, now, what did you think about the match itself? Did you like it, didn't like it, hated it?
I thought it was just what we saw on Raw. Just Brock beating up Seth, and then Seth hit, like... He did the splash. He did the Shane McMahon elbow, but with the splash through the announce table. And his legs, man.
Seth took a pretty good beating last night.
Oh, he did.
Or for a second, just now. I'm sorry, not last night. Just now.
For a second, I was pretty worried about... I was pretty worried because it was a PG-14 rating. I thought Seth was going to get absolutely murdered.
But that he said, PG-14 was probably for the Fiend, right?
Yeah, probably for the eyes sewn shut.
Okay, okay. Again, on the lantern, the eyes were sewn shut. So yeah, that's probably where the PG-14 came in.
When you're wrestling Brock, you don't need to blade. He'll do the job for you.
He can split you open on his own. Okay, so you didn't particularly like that match that much. So what did you think about the pay-per-view altogether?
Pay-per-view altogether, nice and solid. Very solid.
But nothing really blew you away.
Except for the Fiend. And the Becky and Natty match was good. I don't give it enough credit. I'm just mad about the finish. A lot of the matches were good. I don't really count the Goldberg and Dolph thing as a match.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was more of a segment.
It was fun. That was what it was for. Okay, well, that would be our review of SummerSlam. This was a Ray review, and this was a copyright of Go Home Heat 2019. Please catch up with us. We'll probably do another review of SummerSlam with a roundtable discussion. Please come back and check us out again.